Hey, welcome back to The Protectors Season 2. An absolutely amazing guest today, former Army man, did become a 13 Bravo like I was back in the day, but saw the light, definitely saw the light. Now doing great things for veterans, the veteran community, bringing them back to life. I love it. I'm really excited to talk to you today, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And as usual with the Protectors podcast, we do have technical issues right in the beginning of these last few episodes. But it's cool, man. We're here.
We're good. We did it.
We did it, man. So how's your COVID life going?
It's pretty good. We're up in upstate New York, and we've got a little spot up here that away from the city, and you know, we kind of migrated out of the city like everybody else. So sucks in a bunch of ways, like everybody else is feeling, but it's also some silver linings in that we're around family more, and I'm spending more time with my kids, and adapt, overcome, right?
Spending a lot of time with the kids.
How old are your kids?
10 and 12, man.
Yeah, well, at least they're not shitting in their pants, man.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
Maybe they are. If they are, that's cool.
I hope they're not, man. Hey, what are you doing over there, kid? I'm just kidding around. Hey, Matt, the reason I wanted to have you on today is FitOps is doing a lot for the veteran community. I read it up on your website. I didn't see the video, and we're going to post a video at the end of our interview today. But you are bringing a new mission to the veteran community through your program, FitOps. And it's a lot different than what's out there right now. It's not one of these like handouts. You really have to earn it. And, you know, doing our little pre-interview, you were telling me all about it. Yeah. Can you kind of go into that a bit?
Yeah, sure. About 3 years ago, I saw a pretty substantial struggle, obviously, with the veteran community, suicide rate going up, and having some friends and a couple of employees that were struggling. I discerned that the issue really was a lack of purpose. Drugs and alcohol and you know, PTSD and suicide and all those things are results of something greater. And I believe in all my heart that the issue in the veteran community is more related to losing your ability to serve. And, you know, a few who get out end up in law enforcement like yourself. And a lot of them don't have a plan. They get out and they're like, man, what am I going to do now? And it's not like they decide to go down a path of drugs and alcohol, but you know, the issues come up as they're dealing with those issues, whether it's PTSD or another challenge created by pressure. I think most veterans feel a bit lost. Unlike a kid that gets out of college and doesn't have an idea of where to go with his life. But they're coming back thousands, hundreds of thousands at a time. I just grabbed within my network a platoon size group of men and women and rented a Boy Scout camp in Texas and flew them all down. I own some gyms and a sports nutrition company. So I flew my trainers down, I flew some executives down, and we lived on the camp together for a month. And I beat them up physically, sharpened them mentally, and cracked them open emotionally from a vulnerability perspective at night. And the camaraderie piece came right back immediately. You put 36 men and women together from serving, didn't matter what branch, everybody just gelled together. It was a profound moving experience watching these guys, these men and women, break down their sort of, not that they're all messed up, but a lot of people just don't talk about their feelings. And so, at the end of the program, 30 days later, they graduated with a personal training certificate. We got them jobs in 24 Hour Fitness and Equinox, my gyms. But most of all, I think we started the process of letting them let their compartmentalized pain and things they've been carrying around a long time out. So it's incredible. We've got 300 in our ranks now. It's been 2.5 years. We're about to roll out a much bigger program and got thousands waiting. So we're going to scale up.
Yeah, I like the new mission. I like that you break them down, and I'm not talking you're out there to make them just miserable, to be miserable, but you know, just as well as I do in our community, in the veteran community, and this goes across any of the people that are out there just doing things that are mentally exhausting, is that sometimes when you embrace that suck together, you build such a strong bond that not only do you have those 30 people you know, you're all certified, yeah, but now you have 30 people you might be able to reach out to and say, hey, man, what's going on? How you doing? How you doing today? You know, blah, blah, blah. And that's what our community needs, is we need those one-on-one connections.
Yeah, you hit a nail on the head. That's what makes it possible, the connection together. And, you know, they get together and share, and, you know, it's, you learn together, you struggle and cry together, you figure out at the mm-hmm. end, you know, that we sort of tricked you into coming to a personal training camp that was actually more like a boot camp for life. And, you know, it's a incredible thing that I'm just very proud of, and I'm pouring my heart and soul into, to make sure it gets up to scale to help all the soldiers out there that are currently serving, so they don't fall down that path, and then also the veterans who are struggling now.
It's a new mission, and, you know, being a leader, and you don't have to wear stripes, you don't have to wear bars or rank to be a leader. And when you give someone a new mission to go out into the quote unquote real world, use what they've learned to be fitness instructor, and they're getting new teams. They're developing new people, civilians. And then you're integrating a military member, a veteran, into the civilian world. And it's like a ripple effect. It's like the grassroots ripple effect. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you find, I think a lot of employers, and I found this, what you find from hiring prior service folks, they have even if they don't know it, they have leadership skills inside of them that are either, you know, well-crafted, had they served a long time and led a lot of men, women, but mm-hmm. even, you know, a young E4 that came out of the military and did 4 years and getting out, they likely saw good leadership and understand what it looks like. And if you bring them in and work with them, they'll develop quickly into good leaders themselves. So I think companies out there listening to your podcast that are looking to hire, try to hire a vet. You'll see the difference.
Yeah, I have, you know, we had one of the senior vice presidents of American Corporate Partners on the other day, and they are a great organization that branches out and gets military members, pairs them up with a mentor from a Fortune 500 companies, and boom, they're looking for exactly what you're out there teaching. Yeah. As you're getting people through this program, they have a new set of skills, and granted, they may not go on and do fitness, be able to go do something else, but what they're learning in that time frame is something else to add to their repertoire.
Yeah. And to that point, I think, you know, fitness, I believe in the power of fitness. That's why I built the program around vocational program around fitness and being a personal trainer. But to your point, some of the graduates that go through our program, they develop those skills, and whether they end up being a personal trainer full-time or not, they take we've sort of solidified in their mind the power that fitness has to transform, you know, mental health. Mm-hmm. And they're incorporating the training that we gave them, both from a personal training perspective, into their own lives, but then also they're incorporating that mentality throughout the way, yep, way they work in their careers. And so it's been, you know, I've got story after story of vets who've been through our program who have gone on to, you know, change the world in some way. And they always come back, and, you know, getting those notes are just incredible. It's an incredible feeling to be part of something like this. And, you know, once you've had that hook in, you're just addicted to it. So I'm all in.
Yeah. And hence, welcome to the world of the podcast world and just talking, getting these stories out there, because me telling your story makes me feel just, I love it, man. And it's like the same type of thing.
I like it.
New mission, man. New mission. One thing about your platoon program sounds like too is, believe it or not, some people in the military are introverted. They're not used to getting out there in front of other people. They're not used to getting out there and, you know, leading from the front all the time. Sometimes they were followers. And sometimes when they go through a program like this, they've progressed to a different stage.
100% agree with that. And I think one of the things that having seen 300 go through my program now, I've seen enough. You know, when you're in the military, it's such a big machine that you don't really, you're in the forest, you can't really see the trees, you know, or you're in the forest. And having now been in this program and watching these 300 men and women go through the last couple of years, I've gotten a pretty good taste of you know, why we have such a struggle in the veteran community and what the challenge is. You know, I think the first one is, you know, vets don't want to be pitied. They don't want you to give them something because you pity them. And that's probably the biggest challenge we have as a society to overcome. The last thing that if you're more proud of your service than anything, what do you want somebody to pity you for it? That doesn't work. And so we don't want to take away civilians' desire to give, of course, because that's a good thing. But you know, I really want to change the narrative in the veteran community around, you know, teaching a man to fish versus giving a man.
Yes.
And we all want opportunities. I don't care who you are. You want an opportunity in your life. Some people go out and just bash through doors and take them. But some people, as you said, are introverts and they don't know how to get after it and get one. And so I really think that creating a place where they can craft their skill set and we teach them exactly what you do, how to go and get what they want. It's not a camp where you're just learning to be a personal trainer. It's an actual camp where we're training you mentally to be able to lead. And you know, the thing that we've learned after seeing those 300 to the camp, a lot of them went into the military with challenges. You know, childhood challenges, why I went in. And those challenges don't go away. You end up after several years of whether it be combat or hardened military life, layering more issues on top of those issues. And what is the military unbelievable at? Teaching you how to compartmentalize trauma.
Yep.
You know, our mission at FitOps is to now decompartmentalize trauma, teach you a new skill, put you back out there to crush it.
I think you brought up a great point too about the handout. That was the first thing I keyed on when you were talking, was that veterans don't want that handout. Some do. Yeah, maybe like 0.1% somewhere out there. I mean, who doesn't want a good handout? But now a lot of organizations, especially nonprofits, are going to a different model of not just, hey, here's a t-shirt, here's a hat, here's $500 check. Now it's like, hey, I'm going to give you the tools. You do something with them. And now it's on you. And civilians are seeing that. And they're seeing like, okay, they don't want to be just, you know, patted on the back and say, thank you for your service. They want to succeed and reintegrate into society.
Yep. That's exactly right. And it's so you have this sort of like, I want to give, and I want to give because I pity you, and I want an opportunity, but I don't want it because you pity me. And so, you know, you end up having this sort of like, it's bizarre. And I think part of what's come out of that is there's so much suffering going on in the community because the right things aren't there. And suicide rate at, you know, 20 plus a day. We just brought SEAC, John Troxell, Command Sergeant Major from the Army, who just retired after 38 years and, you know, top enlisted guy in the Army. He's now on our board. And, you know, he was on Fox News a couple nights ago talking about, you know, what he's seen in his 38 years and himself coming out of the service. You know, he had to go through those things. You know, he's going through those things. And, you know, his new mission, as he said, is to reduce and end unnecessary suicide through our foundation FitOps. So, you know, I think, We know what the challenge is. I think we have some of the pieces and tools, but I think reorienting and redirecting a little bit how society gives would go a long way to making veterans to take the opportunities that are out there.
And you know, I find out because I've interviewed a ton of different nonprofits, and trying to get the message out there sometimes is the toughest thing. It's great to have big names behind it to get that message out there, and it's also great to have this ripple effect. Where you know, you talk to one person, they talk to one person. It's a hustle, and you're someone that knows about the hustle. And that's one thing I wanted to bring up. Where did this drive? Where did this entrepreneurship come from? Is this something that like you were like, hey, you know what? I'm just gonna, you know, start businesses, do this, do that.
I mean, I would love and also not love to, and I'm gonna tell you the truth, to say that I'm just born with this, you know, this incredible desire inside to build things, to disrupt things and change things. I think most of my passion for what I do now was originally crafted or forged through fear. I had some severe childhood trauma and you know, battled through that for years and ran to the military when shit got bad. And, you know, I think as a young man, I didn't really understand why I was doing what I was doing. You know, I more looked at it like I'm going to go to the army and I'll make something myself and, you know, America and, you know, all that. Yeah. And, you know, I'm as patriotic as they come and I love our country to death. But my original intent for going to the military, at least at that time, was one of fear. And, you know, I used that fear that was compartmentalized inside of me for years and years and years to drive forward and, you know, to not be vulnerable and to accomplish things and beat doors down and, you know, kick doors down. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I, you know, to your point around fundraising and finding, getting the word out and the mission, getting your mission out to others so they can help you, you know, I just refuse to take no for an answer because for me, it was about survival for all those years. And I built skills off of that fear and survival. So while I think there's a million things that I'm really proud of, I think the thing that I'm most proud of is understanding and overcoming fear and being okay to be vulnerable, because that vulnerability is actually what allowed me to create the foundation and to bring other vets in and let them be vulnerable in a safe place.
Definitely. The safe place is key and paramount. We all have this fear, especially, you know, the world right now is crazy as can be. It's always been crazy, maybe up a couple octaves now, but it's always been a mess. And you and I probably have the similar type thing where, you know, America, join the army, do what you got to do. But it does get you to a different point in your life to where you look at things a lot differently. And you need people out here that you could talk to. You could find these safe spaces. I really like this FitOps, man. I think this is a great thing. And like you said, I don't know if it was in a previous interview or when we first started talking about, fitness is key to mental health, man.
Yeah. And people, I think when you get out, you don't really realize you start throwing on a few pounds, you start having a few beers, you know, start laying out, and pretty soon you're 30 pounds overweight, you're smoking cigarettes, you're, you know, drinking every night. And all of a sudden you've lost your purpose. You've lost your meaning. You've lost your job. You've lost your family. And then you're like, you know what? Fuck it. Boom. And you shoot yourself. And you know, that is what we have to stop. And, you know, I think there's a couple of ways of getting after it. One, you know, we've got to get on to bases and help vets transition.
Yes.
Command Sergeant Major Troxel is, you know, networking into the army now. And, you know, he reported straight into Mattis. So he's, you know, he has mm-hmm. to do it. And, you know, I think if we are able to get on base and even our small part in the way that we do this through fitness, you know, the undercarriage of the army is being fit and ready to fight. And, you know, when they get out, for the most part, unless they're being processed out because they can't pass a PT test, you know, or make weight, they're fit and ready to fight. Keeping them there is a lot easier than bringing them back there. So, you know, our camp, which is basically like a health and wellness ranch, it's now in Bentonville, Arkansas. It's designed to bring platoon size groups through several at a time. And, you know, if you go through what's basically boot camp, which is the personal training certification piece, which is a month, you also can come back again for new certifications like nutrition or kettlebell or CrossFit or whatever. So, you know, I think a combination of being proactive with currently departing military, becoming veterans, and then in concert, bringing veterans who have already fallen down a hard path into a different type of program. I think, you know, I don't want to say, my wife would say I oversimplify everything. And that's true, but
sometimes you have to,
and I'm willing to oversimplify this, because I have to believe, and I do it wholeheartedly, that our foundation in itself, with the people that we're able to bring in, can solve the veteran suicide issue by teaching vets how to use fitness to keep them mentally sound.
Listen, we got up 4 or 5 o'clock every day for years, you know, albeit Saturday and Sunday. Learning and keeping that going when you're transitioning is a lot easier than, like you said, when at 30 pounds, the cigarettes and the booze comes into the factor. Right. I like the idea.
Yeah. And if you think about the reason that happens, you've just given, you know, 4, 8, 12, whatever year number of service, and you're, And you're like, you know what, man, I deserve it. I'm going to give myself. I'm not going to work out. I'm going to drink a little more. I think I'm just going to sleep on the couch all day. It's basically telling yourself, you know, you're rewarding yourself with shit. And versus rewarding yourself with growth and opportunity. And, you know, there's some dynamic in there that we've got to change so that mentality doesn't go to myself up because I deserve it, you know, because that actually is what's happening. Can't tell them that because they're like, what do you mean I deserve it? You know, I think they feel it inside. Back to my point about running into the military with compartmentalized trauma. Not everybody, but a lot of young men and women do. And, you know, those are the vets that I'm trying to get after because I know that's, you know,
they're at risk.
Totally. That's 100% where the risk is. You're exactly right.
And you and I are the same. We don't look at veterans as a number or a social security number or the last four or whatever. It's not something you just discard and say, well, you know, they serve their country, whatever. It's not. This is something that we need to get out to the public. We need support behind it. Congressional support. Sometimes it is a policy change, executive orders, anything to get that integration of these nonprofits. It's not just your nonprofit either. There's a ton that could help out with TAPS, transition assistance programs and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're working on exactly where we're trying to integrate in. And you mentioned, you know, congressional leaders. The first thing that SEAC Troxell did when he got in here was he picked up the phone and called Senator Cotton, who's the senator who's on the Senate Arms Committee, Senator of Arkansas. And, you know, they jumped on it immediately and said, when you get ready to build your camp, we want to be a part of that because it's, you know, there isn't a lack. And he's also a vet himself. I think he's but there isn't a lack of wanting to help, but there's few programs that are actually doing something rather than giving something. A lot of vets want to start nonprofits. There's like 40,000, I think, or something.
Yeah.
The advice I would give anybody starting a nonprofit in the veteran space is orient your mission towards equipping and helping people equip themselves versus giving them something.
I agree 100%. Matt, I appreciate you coming on today, man. I really want to support this program. I really like to see this get integrated into bases, camps, anywhere we're housing soldiers, because there's a million different names for everything now. But man, I really dig the program. I'm looking forward to watching the video. I can't believe I didn't watch the video, man.
Yeah, John Cena narrates it, you know, last
John
year.
Cena.
Yeah, word.
You can't see me. Come on.
I've heard that joke so many times, though. He actually came to camp and lived on the camp for a couple of days with me last year.
Wow.
And, you know, Mother's Day was the day after he left. He called me and said, man, I want to help. And I'm going to help in the form of both money and my service.
Awesome, man.
He said, I'm going to step up and give $1 million to the
family.
But I'm also going to challenge the folks out there listening to give $1 million along with me. So he went on Ellen DeGeneres. He went on Jimmy Kimmel, and he talked about FitOps and what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, this is something that I believe in, and I'm going to get behind. You know, he's one of the most philanthropic givers.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
600 Make-A-Wishes he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He's truly, you know, along the lines we were talking earlier around vulnerability and, you know, being okay with being okay.
Yeah.
You know, saying, you know, being okay with being vulnerable. You know, that's why this program resonated so much for him, because he believes that and talks about it a lot. He believes that vulnerability is the key to unlocking a lot of the struggles that we feel inside. So, you know, give money to FitOps, be vulnerable yourself. Those are my parting words.
Give. It's not just about you, people. Come on. FitOps, where can we find you?
You can go to fitops.org. You can also Google FitOps. You know, Nora O'Donnell did a big piece on it last year on CBS News.
And we're going to put a link here.
Yeah, put one all over.
All over the place. It's going to be all over the screen. It's going to be great.
There's been some good coverage, and, you know, we're going to keep we'll keep pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, kicking them in. You know, we will figure out a way to fix this. And you come bring me back on your podcast in 10 years. We'll reduce that veteran suicide number, not by half.
Hey, we might be on TV by then. Actually, we are on TV, but we're not on TV yet.
All right.
We're on Amazon. So for the audience out there, this will be on Amazon Fire and Roku as well. So
awesome.
They're both streaming all over, man. I got an audience in New Zealand probably right now. It's awesome.
I'm going to stop promoting myself and just have you do all my shit.
Might as well. I'm here. That's what I do, brother. Matt, I appreciate you coming on today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
One,